We must understand and end the human rights disaster that is occurring in occupied Palestine, and one way we can do that is by listening to voices that we would never hear otherwise. To hear Palestinian voices that go unheard in the corporate and state media, tune into this radio station every week. This is Kristen S. reporting from occupied Palestine. The Israeli military continues its raids on the West Bank. They went back into the Aida camp in Bethlehem last night and took 7 more people. This is after the day before yesterday, when Israeli soldiers dressed in civilian clothes entered a crowded area of Bethlehem called Sinema and opened fire on a car, killing all of the people inside of the car. All of them were residents of the Aida camp. When they were shooting that car, they also shot another car, killing a 12-year-old girl who lived in Betzahor, it's an area right next to Bethlehem, injuring her mom and her dad and her sister. The political prisoners now are adding up to about 9,000 being held illegally in Israeli jails. These are people that are usually taken in midnight raids, taken for periods of 6 months or longer in what's called administrative detention. This means that the Israeli military does not need to charge the people with anything. They don't have to explain why they're being held in the prisons, and they don't have to allow them phone calls or any sort of normal, what we might consider to be humane treatment. In the Gaza Strip this week, the Israeli military invaded the north, Beit Hanun. They killed 2 people who were working in the Palestinian Authority building that the Israeli military fired missiles on. Tanks also demolished hundreds of olive and orange trees, as has been their practice. They came into Khan Yunis and also into Rafah, as usual. In Rafah, they exploded 5 tunnels under the ground. In Khan Yunis, they killed a man who was working in his field and also injured a 51-year-old woman while they were trying to demolish her house. The U.S. has launched a successful propaganda campaign against Iraq, now ignoring its own arsenal of nuclear weapons, its flagrant violations of U.N. resolutions and international law. What it's looking like, sadly, is being very similar to the most successful propaganda campaign in history, that of the Israeli government has been waging against Palestine. Today we're going to be speaking with Dr. Mona El-Farada from the Union of Health Work Committees here in Gaza City. Dr. Mona, thank you for being with us. I want to ask you if you could just talk a little bit about the situation in Gaza Strip right now as you see it.
I'd like to remind everybody that the ongoing shooting and killing that have been going since the beginning of Intifada 2 years ago is still going on. Last night, there was 4 explosions in Rafah refugee camp. I telephoned my friend who lives in Rafah, one of my friends, and she told me that it was very terrifying. One of the most terrifying nights. She couldn't know what to do. Her children were terrified. It was really bad. And when I say bad, that means when you feel that you are living in your own home, you're unsafe, thinking of your children are subjected to injury or wound or being sick and can't reach the hospital or the ambulance crews can't reach you. That's what happened in Rafah. In Khan Yunis, the same night, the Israeli launched one small incursion to the east of Khan Yunis, and they demolished one of the houses in Khan Yunis. They stayed 4 hours. What happened in Beit Hanun the night before last, it was really something. They killed 2 soldiers. I don't mean soldiers, I mean security forces men. The 2 of them who were killed, their injuries were not serious. They could have been easily saved if the ambulance crews reached them at the right time, but the Israelis did not allow the ambulance men to reach the 2 wounded, so they reached the hospital dead. 7 were injured, including 1 small child, 12 years old. That's what happened in Beit Hanun. The situation as a whole in our area in Gaza is tense. People is still anticipating what will happen next related to the war in Iraq. So people are living in a case of general or you can say massive depression. People are depressed, worried, anxious, don't know what to expect next, and they can't analyze the situation properly. It is, I can call it ambiguous situation, what we are living in now. And for us here in Gaza, we feel very bad, and we feel that the double standard way of thinking of the American government towards the crisis. For example, the American and the British are sending their troops to finish the mass destruction weapons of Iraq in the name of the United Nations resolutions. I just would like to remind everybody who is listening now, at least 60 United Nations resolutions related to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict has been released by the United Nations, and it has been totally ignored by the United States and the Israelis. So it is very clear the double standard dealing with the situation in the Middle East. Another thing, what's happening in Iraq now, they want to destruct the massive destruction weapons of Iraq, and yet in Israel there are at least 300 nuclear power heads in Israel, and Israel did not allow the International Atomic Energy and Atomic Energy Association to monitor its nuclear power. It ignored its pledges several times. This is very sad and very bad. It is a shame against the humanity itself to deal with situation in double standard.
Since you're working in the medical profession, a medical doctor, I'd like to just ask you a little bit about what you mentioned about the two Palestinian men that were killed in Beit Hanun. You said that their injuries were not serious and that they could have lived through these injuries had the Israeli military allowed the ambulances to go through. Of course, denying ambulances access is in direct contradiction to the Fourth Geneva Convention. And the United States is talking about the Fourth Geneva Convention as it relates to Iraq when they're trying to use this double standard you're talking about in Iraqi and U.S. practices. How often do you see this, the Israeli military denying ambulance and medical workers from access? And what is your fear about the treatment that medical professionals will continue to face?
What I'm seeing, it is the ongoing practice of the Israeli army to violate to deny the accessibility of ambulance men to the wounded. What happened last night in Beit Hanun, just one of the many examples we are facing during our practice. The two men who were killed in Beit Hanun, their injuries were in the abdomen and one in the lower limb. They could have been saved easily, but they reached the hospital dead because they bled to death. And this is daily practice. Every day they are, every incursion, small or large incursion, the Israeli violate the Fourth Geneva Convention that guarantees the safety of medical workers going to rescue or evacuate the patient, and the safety of the patients themselves. So for us, it has become a habit of the Israeli, but I think we should not accept this, and we should keep talking and keep exposing the Israeli practices, because they are launching strong propaganda against the Palestinians, and they want the world to forget who is the victim and who is the oppressor. They want the world to blame the victim, not the oppressor.
And we're seeing some of that play out now in the picking of Abu Mazen as prime minister for Palestine, directly usurping the power of Arafat on behalf of Israel and the United States. There are many people here who fear that Abu Mazen is will be used as a pawn by the United States and by Israel in order to take away the limited rights the Palestinians have at this point and the limited rights that they might be able to draw upon, things that many of those rights that they lost in the signing of Oslo, which Abu Mazen participated in. And I wonder, what are your thoughts on the appointment of Abu Mazen and what his role might be?
Abu Mazen has been assigned for this position according to the interests of the Americans and the Israelis. It is not popular. It is not according to the desire of the people of Gaza and West Bank. So maybe if this is going to succeed for some period, it will not succeed for the long run or the long term. Any solution, even if it promises a new government, even if it promises the Palestinian people of prosperity and good way, more jobs and more ventilation for them, no more restriction of movement, etc., will not bring peace to the area. Peace will be brought to the area, that the peace that's based on justice solution. And to talk about justice solution, we should go to a resolution of the United Nations resolution related to the right of return to the Palestinians and the right of Palestinians to live in independent Palestinian state. Anything apart from this, maybe it will succeed for some time, but it will collapse in the end. And the experience of Oslo, it is still fresh. We did not forget Oslo yet.
Thanks for talking with us, Dr. Mona El-Farara from Gaza City. Reporting from Occupied Palestine, I'm Kristen S.